Yunjan Evam Sadatmanam Yogi Niyata Manasaha Shantim Nirvana Padamam Matsangstam Adhigachati Yunjan Nevam Sadatmanam Yogi Niyata Manasaha Shantim Nirvana Padamam Matsangstam Adhigachati Yunjan Nevam Sadatmanam Yogi Niyata Manasaha Shantim Nirvana Padamam Matsangstam Adhigachati Yunjan, practicing, evam, as mentioned above, sada, constantly, atmanam,
body, mind, and soul,
yogi, the mystic transcendentalist, niyatamanasaha, with a regulated mind. Shantim, peace. Nirvana Padamam, cessation of material existence. Matsangstam, the spiritual sky. The kingdom of God. Adhigachati, does attain. Thus practicing constant control of the body, mind, and activities. The mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains to the kingdom of God, or the abode of Krishna, by cessation of material existence. Purport. The ultimate goal in practicing yoga is now clearly explained. Yoga practice is not meant for attaining any kind of material facility. It is to enable the cessation of all material existence. One who seeks an improvement in health or aspires after material perfection is no yogi, according to Bhagavad Gita. Nor does cessation of material existence entail one's entering into the void, which is only a myth. There's no void anywhere within the creation of the Lord. Rather, the cessation of material existence enables one to enter into the spiritual sky, the abode of the Lord. The abode of the Lord is also clearly described in Bhagavad Gita as that place from which there is no, that place where there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity. All the planets in the spiritual kingdom are self-illuminated like the sun in the material sky. The kingdom of God is everywhere, but the spiritual sky and the planets thereof are called paramdham, or superior abodes. A consummate yogi, who is perfect in understanding Lord Krishna, as is clearly stated herein by the Lord himself, matchitta, matpara, matsangstham, can attain real peace and can ultimately reach his supreme abode, Krishna Loka, known as Goloka Vrindavan. In the Brahma Sangita 5:37, it is clearly stated, Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuta. The Lord, although residing always in his abode called Goloka Vrindavan, is the all-pervading Brahman and the localized Paramatma as well, by dint of his superior spiritual energies. No one can reach the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha, or enter into the Lord's eternal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, without the proper understanding of Krishna and his plenary portion, his plenary expansion, Vishnu. Therefore, a person working in Krishna consciousness is the perfect yogi because his mind is always absorbed in Krishna's activities. Savaya mana Krishna padada vindayo. In the Vedas also, Svetashvatara Upanishad 3.8, we learn, tameva viditvati mrityumeti. One can overcome the path of birth and death only by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, perfection of the yoga system is the attainment of freedom from material existence, and not some magical jugglery or gymnastic feats to befool innocent people. Yunjanyevam sadatmanam yogi niyata manasah shantim nirvana padamam matsangstham adhikashchati. In this sixth chapter, Lord Krishna describes the yoga system. Sucho deshe pratishthapyas tiram asanam atmana nati utritam nati nicham chailasana kushottaram. The Lord describes how one should go to a holy place and put his asana and sit properly and practice the pranayama, pratyahara, dhyan, dharana, samadhi, everything he describes. This is the system of Ashtanga Yoga. This yoga is also popular again these days in America. But practically speaking, no one understands the meaning and purpose of yoga. I was in some bookstore the other day and they had a table full of books of yoga. And they're all, mostly they're pictures of nice, trim, athletic looking young ladies on the cover, practicing some asanas, and very healthy. And mostly yoga is popular on that account, that people want to be young and healthy looking. And yoga will be very nice for that. This is not actually yoga. The first understanding of yoga is that I'm not this body. The Lord points out to the Arjuna, nasate vidito bhavo nabhavo vidite sataha ubayor api drishtontas tvanios tat vidarshiti dehi nasvin yata dehe. There's the body and there's the soul within the body. The body is temporary, it will be finished. And the soul is eternal. So Krishna's rebuking Arjuna that why are you foolishly placing so much emphasis on the body? Anarya, this is fit for the persons who are not members of a progressive civilization. This is the beginning of the Lord's instruction on yoga. And so people are very eagerly going out and learning yoga to improve the situation of the body. That means they haven't understood the ABCs even of yoga. And the yoga teachers, they instruct the various kinds of asanas and so on. And they tell the people, there's also a philosophy, a very wonderful philosophy, but they don't give a clear understanding of what that philosophy is. The philosophy seems to be, you learn some asanas and you pay some money. So the actual yoga is different. Yoga means connecting oneself with the Supreme. The sitting postures, breathing exercises, and so on are preliminary methods for making one's connection with Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita also, at the end of describing this system, the Lord makes it very clear that the business of the yogi is to fix his mind on the Lord. That's the actual purpose. manasamyamya much chitto yukta asita matpadaha. Matpadaha means making Krishna the goal of life. And much chitta means thinking always of Krishna. That's the real business of, real purpose of yoga, to connect oneself with Krishna. We're going to make a little more adjustment. Some of the men on this side can shift a little bit. A little bit this way, and ladies will have, because the men have the whole, all the way to here, and the ladies are scrunched. A little more. Up, lining up with Madhupati, more or less. So, yoga is actually practiced for spiritual advancement. Genuine yoga. Yunjan evam. And to follow the yoga system is not so easy. Therefore, in the present age, even this system of sitting and breathing and so on is not recommended. Because evam, one has to practice it in the manner prescribed. Shucho deshe, one has to go to a sacred place. And worst of all, especially for the Americans, brahmachari vrte stitha. One has to observe strict brahmacharya. Watch the yoga classes empty out. Like turning on the light in a room full of cockroaches. They'll all scatter. Oh, I have to... what is this brahmacharya? They'll be gone. Therefore, the yoga instructors are not very keen to instruct this particular item of yoga. But if one wants to achieve success in yoga, this is mandatory. One has to follow all of these items. To sit in the proper place, sit in the proper way, proper seat, proper control of the body and mind, brahmacharya vrte stitha, all of these things one has to observe. Not simply giving money and sitting in one's leotards in a big gymnasium in New York City and practicing yoga. It's meaningless. So, of course, maybe it's good for losing weight, but then so are those machines, you know. So, yunjan evam sadatmanam. Yogi. Niyatamanasa. Yogi means finally a devotee. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana. Shadhavan bhajate yomam. Same yukta tamavata. There are different kinds of yogis, but the best yogi is the person who's always in Krishna consciousness. This the Lord affirms at the end of the chapter as the conclusion. And niyatamanasa, the yogi's mind has to be controlled. Not that the mind is going here and there and everywhere. As the body is supposed to be controlled, actually this control of the body is meant for control of the mind. It's not simply that the body is very nicely controlled and the mind is going in every direction. But the purpose of controlling the body is that now that my body is controlled, now I have to control the mind. What is that? Control of the mind, much chitta. The Lord says that finally the mind should be taken away from all nonsense and fixed on me. Much chitta. Much chitta sarva durgani prasadantush. One will overcome all obstacles in this material world by the mercy of the Lord when one is always Krishna conscious. Much chitta. So, niyatamanasa, this is control of the mind. Now in the present age, by silent meditation or by following the principles of Ashtanga Yoga, people are not able to control the mind. And therefore this control of the mind by the Hare Krishna sound meditation is recommended. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is niyatamanasa, to control the mind. And what will be the result? Shanti. One will become peaceful. shanti. Ashantas yukutas sukham. Without peace of mind. Now, where's the question of happiness? People are trying like anything for happiness, but their minds are disturbed. And therefore, they can be happy. They can't be happy. So, shanti. And nirvana paramam. This word nirvana is a very popular word. Everyone has heard of nirvana. So what is that nirvana? If someone asks you, suppose one of your Western friends asks you, like, what is nirvana? Then what will you say?
Cessation of material miseries.
Cessation of material miseries is nirvana. But what is that cessation of material miseries? Yes, they're nirvana. What do they think is nirvana? First of all, they hear this word nirvana. It becomes zero. They think nirvana means that now you reach this high platform in which everything is extinguished. No thinking. I have all these thoughts which are disturbing my mind, but when I attain nirvana, there'll be no more thinking. Now I have this so many personal hang-ups, so many personal problems, so many personal anxieties. But when I attain nirvana, then I'll no longer be troubled by personhood. I'll no longer be a mere individual person, but I'll have come to some universal platform for thinking. Buddhists think that this nirvana means to become zero, that the flame of the lamp is flickering, and when the lamp is extinguished, there's no more flickering. And the impersonalists, they think that when the tiny individual merges with the supreme, this is nirvana. And now I'm the drop, I'll become the ocean. Or you take a pot and you smash the pot and the air inside the pot and the air outside the pot become one. This is their idea of nirvana. But in the Bhagavad Gita, this idea of nirvana is not confirmed. Nirvana paramam, at least not as the highest. There is some platform of merging with the supreme, but that's not nirvana paramam. It may be cessation of miseries, but it's not the highest understanding. What's the highest understanding? Nirvana paramam, matsangstham. Hare Krishna, Jai Ram. Matsangstham. Matsangstha means to attain the abode of Krishna. Is there an asana for Jai Ram? Matsangstha means the abode of Krishna, or the spiritual sky. Natat pasyate suryo na shashanko na pavaka. Yagatva nanivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. This is the supreme abode of Krishna. Natat pasyate suryo, where there's no need of sunlight. Na shashanko na pavaka. And there's no need of moon, and there's no need of electricity. Here in this material world, if there's no moon, and there's no sun, and there's no electricity, then everything is darkness. Even if there's sun and moon, if there's no electricity, then it's a big disaster. So this is a practical reason for going back to Godhead. They're trying to trace out what to do. The infrastructure is failing. We're not getting proper electricity. What shall we do? So this is the answer from Bhagavad Gita. One should go to the place where there's no need of electricity. In Goloka Vrindavan, everything is effulgent like the sun. Everything is effulgent like the sun. There's no need of artificial light, nor is there any need of electricity. Everything is spiritually effulgent. Tad tama paramam. And apart from that, even when the electricity is working, we'll live very happily and grow old and die and have to be obliged to take another birth. Therefore, our problems are not extinguished. Simply, you die with the lights off or you die with the lights on. What would you rather have? This is your choice in the material world. Die with the lights on or die with the lights off. But either way, everyone in this material world has to die. And dhruvam janma mrtasya, after dying, one has to take birth again. But yagatva na nivartante, after going to the abode of Krishna, one never has to come back. This is actually nirvana. Freedom from birth and death. Samsara dava naladita loka tranaya karunya kanaganante. Praptasya kalyana gunarnama shubhante guru shri charvara. The bona fide spiritual master is not the person who teaches us how to lose weight, but the person who teaches us how to get free from samsara, the forest fire of repeated birth and death. Well, that's possible when we surrender to Krishna, or when we go back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Matsangstha. Krishna says, don't remain in this material world, but come back to my abode, back to Godhead. And this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone should attain the highest peace. Everyone should attain nirvana by going back to Matsangstha, the transcendental kingdom of God, the abode of Krishna. And that one can do by Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the most important movement for human society, and we should take it very seriously in our own lives and distribute it for the benefit of others. Are there some questions? Yes?
I have two.
Two questions to start. Okay.
One is, I think I read in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the very, very beginning, that this world is made of Krishna's effulgence.
This world is made of Krishna's effulgence, you've read someplace, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Everything is made of Krishna's effulgence.
Yeah, for that purpose, I'm wondering, why is it that, his effulgence is the light that emanates from his body.
If the effulgence is the light, then why is the world dark? Just like the clouds, they emanate from the sun. It's because of the sun that water is evaporated from the ocean and turns into clouds. So the cause is the brilliant sun, but the result is the darkening cloud. So Krishna's energy is all spiritual, but according to the way he uses it, for the conditioned souls it acts materially. Just as, say, take the state treasury. The state treasury is all one pot of money, but according to the way the government deploys it, this turns into a bridge, this turns into a college, this turns into a prison. So the Lord's energy is one, but according to the way he uses it, it becomes the spiritual world or it becomes the material world. Or it's manifest as the spiritual world or manifest as the material world. When it's manifest as the spiritual world, everything is brilliant. And where it's manifest as the material world, everything is dark. So our real home is in the spiritual world, but when we turn away from Krishna, then we are sent to prison. And here we are.
So his effulgence is actually just his, the various energies that
Yes, Krishna's effulgence means his energy, his spiritual energy. Mm-hmm. Question two.
Yeah, if, when Krishna was speaking this Gita, Kali Yuga was
getting started.
Approaching it. Mm-hmm. So why was he giving instructions on the type of yoga that would be inappropriate for him?
When Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita, Kali Yuga was just beginning. So why was Krishna speaking on the yoga system which is not appropriate for Kali Yuga? And just so that Arjuna could reject it.
Yeah, that's right.
In the Bhagavad Gita, after the Lord explains this yoga system, Arjuna rejects it. This yoga system is too difficult. Let's see. Yo yam yoga straya prokta sangena madhusudhana etas yaham napashyami na chanchala tvat stitam stiram. My dear Lord, you've spoken this system samyena only in summary. And even from the summary I can understand that this is too difficult. You've talked about controlling the mind by these sitting postures and exercises, breathing exercises. But tasyaham nigraham manye bayur eva sudhuskuram. I think it's like standing in front of a hurricane and saying, stop. Will a hurricane stop?
No.
So controlling the mind is more difficult than controlling a hurricane. So how do you expect me to practice this yoga system? So Krishna is explaining it just for our enlightenment. First of all, to present the complete picture so that no one will say later, oh, but Krishna wasn't speaking about this system, he didn't mention this system. This system is very good. He mentions all the, in summary, samyena, what is yoga, what is this Ashtanga yoga? And then Arjuna rejects it. And finally Krishna says, no, this is not the highest yoga system anyway. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shradhavan bhajate yoma bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga system is the highest system. We never find. Arjuna was highly qualified. He was a member of the Kuru dynasty. He was so powerful. He's very spiritually advanced. A personal friend of Krishna. But there's no record that he ever followed this yoga system. He rejected it. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, the system of yoga that he accepted was a surrender to Krishna, bhakti yoga. So the purpose is to instruct that we should all take up the bhakti yoga system and not waste our time with jnana yoga, karma yoga, ashtanga yoga. We should take up devotional service to Krishna.
And he says,
Krishna
says, Arjuna says that controlling the mind is too difficult. But then we're instructed to control the mind.
Yes, because Krishna says that it's not, he says it's difficult. Let's see. I was just there. Samshayam. Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. It's a fact that controlling the mind is very difficult. Abhyasena tu kaunteya. Vairagyena cha grihite. But it's possible by appropriate practice and by detachment. So this is the appropriate practice, not sitting and fixing your eyes on the tip of the nose, half open, half closed. How many of us are going to do that? Maybe one or two small number of people will go to the Himalayas and follow this system. We're not going to do this. Even if we'll practice the system very seriously and we'll meditate for 10 or 15 minutes and then our cell phone will go off. And we won't turn off the cell phone because maybe an important call will come. So this system is not practical, but chanting Hare Krishna is practical. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that controlling the body, then you can control the mind.
Mm.
But in another place, it said that in the hierarchy, there's the senses, then there's the mind, there's the intelligence, and the false ego, and then the soul.
Mm.
So with the intelligence, you can control the mind.
With the intelligence, we can control the mind. But the problem is that the intelligence is not working properly either. The mind is not working properly, intelligence is not working properly, and the body is not working properly. Body is engaged in all nonsense. Mind is right in the middle of the nonsense. And the intelligence is also nonsense. So then, what to do? So we have to attack on several fronts. The most important thing is this chanting of Hare Krishna. That will engage the mind. That also engages the body, starting with the tongue, which is the most difficult of all the senses to control. Dharma je jivati, lobha moha sudhirmati. Tongue is always wanting to speak nonsense, eat nonsense. But when we chant Hare Krishna, the body starts to be, body means senses, but the body starts to be engaged. The tongue is engaged, the ear is engaged, the mind is engaged. So we're engaging body and mind by chanting Hare Krishna. Apart from that, there are also some other recommendations. In the next verse, Krishna will say, anashnatastu yogosti. What is that? Na chaikantam anashnata. Nachati swapna shilasya jagrito naiva charjana. Yuktahara viharascha yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapna bhavotasya yogo bhavati dukkha. If you want to get rid of all miseries, you can do it by practicing the proper yoga system. Then there's some rules to follow, even for the bhakti yogis. Krishna says you can't become a yogi if you eat too much. Eating too much especially means, first of all, any food which is not in the which is outside the category of vegetarian food, but also the food which is not offered to Krishna. Yogyashishtashana shanto munchunte sarvakyadisha bhunjate te takam papam ye pachantyatmakarna. Those who are simply cooking and eating for their own enjoyment are getting involved in agham papam, big time sin. So the eating too much means eating food. It may be very nice, very tasty, everyone's eating it, but it's not offered to Krishna, then that's eating too much. We should eat the Krishna prasadam, food offered to Krishna. Don't live near a temple, how will I get Krishna prasadam? No, you take some fruits, vegetables, grains, milk products, offer to Krishna, Krishna prasadam. Is it a difficult business? It's practical. Everyone can do this. So we should not eat too much. And that also, Krishna prasadam doesn't mean, oh, it's prasadam, let me eat it, eat it, eat it. Of course, in the beginning, if we're going to overeat anyway, better to overeat Krishna prasadam. But then after some practice, one comes to understand that simply eating means sleeping. To get fat and sleep. Well, for yoga practice, spiritual advancement, sleeping and eating one's whole life and becoming fat is not very favorable. And not eating enough is also not very favorable. Starving. By starvation, one doesn't make spiritual advancement either. One should not eat too much, one should not eat too little. But yukta. Yukta means balanced, controlled, regulated. Not eating too much, not eating too little. Not sleeping too much, not sleeping too little. Everything regular. So that puts the bodily activities under regulation. And that makes for good health also. If people are practicing yoga, then they go out and to the McDonald's and eat anything and everything. And then they sleep 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day. And 12 hours on Sunday. And they're practicing yoga. What nonsense yoga are they doing? So yoga means that your whole life should be changed, purified. So this is the practice, to eat not too much, not too little, just take Krishna prasadam, enough to keep everything going nicely so we can carry on with our spiritual activities and material necessities. Sleep sufficiently, but not simply sleeping, wasting time. Sleeping enough, eating enough, but not too much. And use our valuable energy for cultivating Krishna consciousness. This is yoga practice. This is practical. Sitting, going to the Himalayas, we'll simply talk about it, but we'll never do it. But this is practical. Not to eat food not offered to Krishna. Not to eat more than required. Not to starve. Not to sleep. But not to keep night watch, stay up all the hours of the day and night watching television and wasting time. And early to bed, early to rise. Yoga bhavati dukkha. Krishna says, by practicing yoga in this way, one will get free from all miseries. People are all diseased. People are taking pills to sleep, pills to wake up. But if they take Krishna's instruction, even from a financial point of view, they'll save millions of dollars. I'll put Madhupati's company out of business. You just practice yoga, just take rest early, get up early. Early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna. People say, oh, I have no time for chanting, I'm so busy. But what time do you take rest, Baba? 10:30, 11:30. But if we take rest early, get up early, then that time is there. No one goes to work at 4:30 in the morning. So that time is available for chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita. So much time is there. Where do you get the time? The time is there in the morning. Before everything gets started, we can use our valuable time, chant Hare Krishna. People like to chant one round Hare Krishna takes 10 minutes. So 10 minutes is unavailable, but in the morning, so much time is there. But if we take rest early, that's practical. Then yoga bhavati dukkha. We'll get good health, we'll get good mental health, peaceful mind, and we'll make spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness.
You explained that beautifully, what is Krishna consciousness? We know that the soul is the most important in the body by Krishna consciousness teachings. But if somebody seriously takes it also, but if they have prior activities which they are suffering bodily, how they can concentrate only on soul?
If by one's prior activities one has some bodily suffering, how can he concentrate on the soul? If he's suffering on the body, then it's good to concentrate on the soul. Now the body is practically a lost cause. I might as well concentrate on the soul. Now this is practical. The person who has some bodily suffering, oh, my body is suffering, I'm in so much misery, I'm in pain, I'm in this, that. And he spends the rest of his life in misery and then dies. But a Krishna conscious person can distinguish between the body and the self. So he knows the body is in trouble, but it doesn't mean that I'm in trouble, because I'm not this body. So immediately he comes to see that half my problem is already solved, or all my problem actually. As soon as I put aside this bodily conception of life, then all right, I have to tolerate some bodily trouble, but it's only toleration because it's not me. The materialist is thinking, this is me. I'm this body, and now I'm all falling apart. It's serious tragedy for them. I was an athlete, I was this, I was that, and now I'm crumbling. But the Krishna conscious person, no, I'm not this body. What does this have to do with me? Then only I have to tolerate some inconvenience. But that's temporary anyway. So for someone who's in good health, then concentrate on the soul. And if you're in bad health, all the more reason to concentrate on the soul. Yes.
Talked about balance in life. Like you mentioned about sleeping and eating, how we should balance, not overdo it. Similarly, many do say that there should be a balance between spiritual life and material.
People say there should be a balance, as there's balance between not sleeping, not eating too much or too little, there should be a balance between material and spiritual activities, people say. We agree. We don't say that you just go off to a cave and chant Hare Krishna day and night while your wife and children starve and everything goes to hell. There should be a balance. But what is the balance? That 6 3/4 days, material activities, and 2 hours on Sunday, come to the temple and meet my friends and talk about how the business is going and take some prasad. And this is balance. So this is not balance. Balance means there should be sufficient Krishna consciousness. We don't say that stop all of your material activities. That's neither practical nor desirable. But continue with your material activities, dovetail them with the service of Krishna, and properly balance things by sufficiently chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita, cultivating Krishna consciousness. Then it's balanced. Yes?
What Krishna appears to say here, that you practice this system of Dhyana Yoga, perfectly you can go to the spiritual kingdom.
Yes, one, by practicing this system, one can go to the kingdom of God. Dhyana Yoga, yes.
Then, who are the people who go to places like Brahmaloka? Are those unsuccessful yogis?
The Brahmaloka, yes, it's mentioned that the successful yogis go to back to Godhead, and they never come back. The unsuccessful yogis, they generally go to the moon. And they stay there for 10,000 years and they come back down here. Or those who are very advanced in yoga practice, severe tapasya, very great. Those who actually, who goes to Brahmaloka? Those who practice their prescribed duties perfectly for 100,000, how many lifetimes? 100 lifetimes. Who? Perfectly, no discrepancy. You can't blow it even once. Those who perfectly carry out their prescribed duties for 100 lifetimes can go to Brahmaloka. Even to go to Brahmaloka is not such an easy thing. But by bhakti yoga, one can go beyond Brahmaloka to the Matsangstham, the abode of Krishna. So people, why work so hard to go to Brahmaloka and Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartin Arjuna and come back down to earth? Because Brahmaloka also is not permanent. Mamu Pecha Tukantiya Punarjanma Navidyate. One goes back to Krishna, no more birth and death. People are doing so many other things. Why not this? Why not this? Why not this? Well, why not this? Why not follow Krishna's direction and go back to God? Yeah, much chitta. That's described in the description of the system. Manasamyamya, much chitta. Yukta sita, matpadaha. Those who make Krishna the goal of their lives, much chitta, madgata prana bhavyanta. Those who completely become Krishna conscious by this system. Not simply those who are successful in stopping their breathing, not simply those who are successful in this or that, but those who come, it's a ladder, those who come to the top step of the ladder reach Krishna. How do they do that? Much chitta, by thinking of Krishna. By matpada, becoming matpada, pure devotees of Krishna. That's the goal of yoga. All right, shall we stop here? Thank you.